The move is, you're correct, the biggest strain on renters. But once you move in, yeah, that first sort of year of making the house your home, certainly an enjoyable experience.
Welcome to the Room Exchange podcast, helping you rent better. In this podcast, we're having conversations with industry leaders in the rental market, along with everyday renters sharing fascinating stories, insights, and tips to help you rent better. Hello, welcome to episode 16 of the Room Exchange podcast. I'm Ludwina Dordovic, your host, and today we've got something a little different for you. So all you DIY fans out there, make sure that you listen in. Because today I'm speaking with Mitchell McLean. Now, Mitch is a passionate DIYer, having spent the last 19 years with Bunnings supporting customers with bringing their projects to life. Mitch is currently part of the Bunnings Workshop team, an online community for sharing DIY advice and inspiration. Now, Mitch, who is a long-time renter himself, is bringing his personal rental knowledge to you today, along with his DIY experience, to talk to us about how you can make changes to your rental property so it feels like home. But first, let's get into a bit of news. I've had the opportunity recently to meet with and talk to some incredible politicians from Victoria. Now, they do happen to be Labor pollies, so if you did vote for them, congratulations on your win. If you didn't, sorry, but they are in power, so let's look forward to what it is that they can do, particularly in the area of housing. Now, first up, I met our treasurer, Mr. Tim Pallas, at a business event, which then opened the door for a conversation with his senior advisor. And we talked about the challenges that regional and coastal tourist towns in particular are having with not being able to find rental housing for their hospitality staff. Now, it's having such a huge impact that some businesses can't even open. Now, if there's nowhere to house people, they can't hire them. I also spoke with Christine Cousins, MP for Geelong. Now, she said that they're experiencing similar problems in their region, particularly further down the coast. Now, I've got a meeting with her next week. I'll keep you updated on how these conversations are going and their outcomes. In the meantime, I'm be pretty interested in speaking to local councils and politicians in your area about the Room Exchange and how we can help to solve the rental crisis in your area by creating a win-win for households and housemates. If you'd like to send some introductions my way, please email me at admin@theroomexchange.com. Now, here's some more news. I'm heading to Sydney for a few weeks. I did mention a couple of weeks ago that the Room Exchange has been named a finalist in the Australian PropTech Association Awards in the Scale Up category for Consumer PropTech, and the awards presentation is next week. I'm so excited about it, I can't tell you. I do wish my fellow finalists all the best, and we're in some pretty good company, so it's a massive honour to actually be here. Our co-finalists are Campaign Agent, Different, Homely, Rent Better, and Rent Pay. Good luck to you all. Now, we love it when you leave a review, and as promised, I will always read them out in the future episodes, so please head over to Apple and leave us a rating and review. Make sure you subscribe while you're there, and after you've finished listening to the episode, of course. We do want our reviews to be authentic and genuine. Now, here's one from Ben Pretty. Ben was actually on our show last week. He's a co-founder of Rent Rabbit. And he writes, awesome information for renters and anyone in the property industry. Ludwina is a great conversationalist and her podcasts are informative for renters. It can be hard as a renter to find informative, easy to digest information. So this podcast is extremely valuable. Thanks so much for that, Ben. I really appreciate it. Now, let's get on with the show. Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really excited. I was really grateful for you and your team for actually organising this. I have actually been a member of Bunnings for many years, so I'm a huge fan of the store, so I'm really pleased to be talking to you today. Now, we've got a lot that we're going to cover, but before we get into that, I'd really like for you to share with our listeners your rental journey, just so they can get a bit of context in terms of understanding, you know, why you're so familiar with this topic.
Immediately after moving out of home at 18, I began renting and have been renting ever since for the past 20 years. Been in several properties myself, both good and bad. But yeah, it's been a bit of a rental journey for me.
So is renting for you, has it been a lifestyle choice or is it, you know, part financial, part choice? You know, what have been your reasons primarily?
It's been a choice and it has been out of necessity as well. It's been one of those things where I moved into the rental market early on, found it a little bit hard to get out of it once you're in it. But I also like the benefits of being in it as well. You can change up your settings when you want to, and you have a fair bit of freedom that you can work with.
That's interesting. I haven't actually heard that before. And I think in terms of having the variety, I think is probably the way I'd explain it. Listeners know if they're listening for the first time, I rent where I live and I have an investment property as well. So I think you call it rent vesting. I don't mind the variety. I like the change. I like, you know, if you've not less than 3 years because it's a massive pain in the butt to move. But I do actually like having, you know, a new fresh space sometimes and a new local environment to explore. Is that what you enjoy?
Yeah, most definitely. The move is, you're correct, the biggest strain on renters. But once you move in, yeah, that first sort of year of making the house your home, certainly an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. And if you get good at renting, every time you move, you can sort of downsize and declutter a little bit, makes the next move a bit easier.
Yeah, you've got me on that one. Where me and my partner are both a bit of hoarders, so we have a room dedicated to our box goods. So
I was actually about to say that I've got a room dedicated to this stuff when we moved last time. I was like, okay, well, I didn't have time to sort of sell it all before because we had to sort through it. And I thought, I've got a room that I can put it in and I'll sell it all on Facebook Marketplace or Gumtree or something. I'm slowly eating away at it, but I think it might take me a little while. But that's another conversation. All right. So thanks for giving us some context there. So why don't you tell us about your role at Bunnings? And you've been working there for a while too. So give us a bit of background there.
Yeah. Started off, once again, when my rental experience did when I was 18. First real job at Bunnings. I was there for about 18 years doing customer service on the floor, serving customers, helping them with their projects around the home and garden. And then just recently, I've moved on to the Bunnings Workshop, which is a slightly different platform to working in-store, still assisting customers, just dealing mainly with DIY projects online.
Okay, so when we were talking the other day, you were saying to me that there's a big chunk of the members in this online workshop who are actually renters. Can you give us some stats around that?
Yeah, I mean, it's commonplace for us to have renters coming in almost daily trying to improve their properties, getting advice on how they can maintain them themselves. It's often a world where they don't have a lot of experience in and they're moving into these areas where they're just not quite sure where to turn, and a lot of them turn to the workshop community.
Like, how many members does the Bunnings Online Workshop have?
We've just hit 30,000.
I thought that was a fee. Congratulations. That's amazing. That is amazing. And so, and what percentage of those did you say that were renters?
It's a high percentage. I mean, I can only gauge by everyday interactions, but there's a lot of interest there, and they quite often turn to us, and we're there to assist.
All right. So do you get a lot of newbies that go in there that have not done any DIY stuff before? Or are they people that sort of just go in to improve their skills? What kind of members do you get there?
Yeah, wide range of people that sort of join us there, a lot of people that are more advanced than others. But I think in people's DIY journey, Bunnings is the first place that a lot of people turn to, whether it's for advice or products that they need. Yeah, it's certainly a welcoming environment, and we do spend a lot of time with newbies on there. And someone new to DIY is always encouraged to jump on, post, and get the assistance they need.
Yeah, look, I have to agree with you there. Every time I've gone in to Bunnings to get something for a project I've been working on, every single person that works there, if they don't have the answer, they'll go and find someone for me that does. I think the customer service is brilliant there. Okay, enough of a plug for Bunnings because it's a fantastic story I could talk about for ages. I want to get into now, you know, sharing some ideas on how renters can make their rental feel like a home because, you know, I've had a bit of experience up my belt now in terms of how to make my place feel like my home. I have things that I take with me from one place to the next, like art, and I've got lots of pots for my garden and things like that. But there are some really interesting things that I think that we can do within a home. One of the concerns that I hear a lot about tenants is that they're worried that they're going to lose their bond. So I think understanding, I guess, firstly, what you can do in your home with some light changes that makes it feel like your place is probably a good space to start. And then after that, we can go into some projects. So what do you know about some of the things that you know that tenants can actually do?
Anything that doesn't damage the property, basically. So we're looking for easily achievable projects. It's always best to touch base with your landlord if you think there might be some type of issue there, but they can be quite accommodating. So anything that doesn't damage the property and is easily removable, and you can return the property to the same state as which you moved in.
Yeah. And I think depending from state to state too, and the listeners will have to just, you know, have a look at the laws from each state across Australia. But I know now that they've changed things like you can hang pictures or paintings up on a wall, you can hang curtains, just basic things like that that can make it feel like a home.
Yeah, we're certainly moving in the right direction with those type of things. I think it's landlords are now realizing that it's imperative that people can make a house a home. You keep tenants for longer, and it's something that works for everyone. Tenants are happy, landlords are happy.
Yeah. And I think when you come to do something like hanging a painting, if it's a very heavy painting, you can't use a rental hook. You've got to put a nail in a wall. You want to know things like you can't just stick a nail in a plaster wall. It has to be on a stud beam. And I think that they're the sort of things that, you know, going to the online Bunnings workshops would be really handy for you.
Yeah, some great basic advice there. You'd be surprised, some of those hanging strips, up to 4 kilos they'll hold up. So that's a very large artwork at 4 kilos. But yes, most landlords are quite accommodating if you sort of promise to patch the wall up before leaving.
Yeah, and I think too, like I know from my experience, I always check with them, even though, you know, I know that we're allowed to. But, you know, when I'm hanging things that might have an actual hole that you're going to leave, they're okay as long as it's placed there properly. And then the next tenants can come in and hang something. But again, check with your local, you know, tenancy laws. But I think the best advice there is to just be really open and clear with communication with your landlord or your agent, just shooting an email through something that you want to do. And as you said, they're usually quite accommodating, particularly if you're doing something that's going to add value to the property. Now, you were sharing a story with me about the vanity in your bathroom. Why don't you share that one with the listeners?
Yeah, I think we all make exceptions when we move into rental properties. I mean, we're looking for something in the right place, right location, right price range. And in my case, that came with a few compromises, one being a very old, outdated sink from the 1970s. It had 3 layers of paint on it, which was peeling off all over it, really quite horrid. And we replaced that at our own expense and put in a new vanity. And that sort of worked out for us because it gave us a better quality of life in the home. And the landlord was quite pleased with having their property improved by us.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a previous guest on our show who talked about how he negotiated even a rent reduction with his landlord by offering to do improvements on a place. So I think if you have the right kind of conversation with them, as you stated, you know, if you're happy living there, you'll be there longer. It's better for them because they've got more certainty of income, and it can sometimes even improve the value of the property.
Yeah, I think it's about creating a discussion. I think too long have tenants and landlords not communicated or not communicated properly. And yeah, it's about opening up dialogue and just talking to each other and working out what works for both of us.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other projects now. So we've mentioned curtains, you know, hanging paintings. What are some of the things that are really interesting ideas that people have come up with for gardens that are not too expensive? So for me, my solution has been I've got a lot of nice pots with succulents and, you know, plants that will survive kind of a move and survive me, actually, is probably the more important thing, you know, that I can add to my garden to sort of make it feel like I have an instant garden without investing in it. But what are some other interesting things that people can do?
Yeah, I think container planting's a massive rage that's taken off recently. I think most people have thought that having gardens and producing veggies and things like that are something out of reach of most renters. But yeah, we see a lot of freestanding gardens on workshop, container gardens, things that are easy to move with you. And I think the key is not investing in things that you can't take with you. And like you said, if you can take your plants with you, all the better. In fact, at the moment, I've actually finally bit the bullet and started bringing plants inside. It's something I avoided for many years because of the potential maintenance. But geez, that improves the quality of life indoors, having some greenery.
You're absolutely right there. And I think we have probably about 20 plants inside our house, from in our bathroom, bedroom, living areas, and even in the kitchen space. And I find it's quite a nice, calming experience in just going around with the water can and, you know, taking care of them. And they're plants that will survive me, which is important. But they do add a really nice touch to the house. And again, it's something that you can take with you.
Yeah, certainly worthwhile. I think sometimes rentals can be a little bit sterile if you've just moved into the place, but bringing some life inside that you can tend to does improve everything going on there.
Yeah. Another thing I find that's really good as well, because I don't know if this is your experience, but a lot of rental these days have got the tile floors. It's rare that you sort of have carpet other than in the bedrooms, and floorboards generally require ongoing maintenance. So I think that's why. I mean, I find the tiles really cold. So we have lots of rugs that we bring with us and, you know, have them around the living spaces in the home. And that's a really nice way to kind of, you know, have that homely feeling as well.
Yeah, really effective way of sort of covering tired and dated flooring. Sometimes the rentals don't get updated flooring, and yeah, a few strategically placed rugs here and there can certainly improve the look.
Mm. So what are some of the other projects that you're doing at Bunnings that can help people with DIY stuff?
Well, I think you touched on it before. Window furnishings is a massive thing that we get quite often. Very often get requests for how do I install curtain rails and things like that. I mean, just a very instant way of updating the look of a room. Once again, daggy curtains can be a sort of bit of a mainstay of rentals. I know I have that issue myself. And curtains that you pop up can just as easily be taken down and moved onto the next property with you. And you can pop those curtains that were there back up again. So people love to question us about the window furnishings and how to install curtain rails.
Mm. I find one of the other things that we did recently, which made a real difference to our place, is often again with rental properties, particularly the newer ones, they have the light fittings. They're kind of like, they look like a white hat, a plastic white hat. And I think they put them in rental properties so that whoever, you know, moves in can decide what they're going to do with their own lighting. I found them really cold. But one of the things I did like about them, and this is probably a good point for listeners to know, they're a batten light, and you might need to correct some of my language here because my partner took care of it for me. But at Bunnings, you've actually got light shades that you can remove these hats, and you can actually just put the light shade on it and clip it in. It's not something that needs to have any electrical adjusting done to it. And we bought downstairs in our kitchen, it's got three lights over the actual kitchen bench, and we just bought these beautiful sort of like soft black chiffon shades, and then got some really nice warm yellow lights, and the lighting in the room is completely different, and it costs us less than $100 for the three of them.
Yeah, classically you'll find a lot of those shades that denoted with a DIY symbol on them there. So if you check out, there's whole sections dedicated to them. So anything with DIY on there, something you can put in yourself and you don't need an electrician. So they just easily attach to that batten fixing that you were talking about. And yeah, pendant lights and things, you can sort of add your own style to a room that way. Don't forget floor and table lamps, though. They're a fantastic way of improving the illumination in a room, and they're wonderful. They're just fantastic at creating mood and ambience in a room. So instead of just having a harsh, singular ceiling light, you can really sort of tone things down for a movie night or something like that. But yeah, great way.
I find candles too, another good one, and we probably should have invested in a candle company because we've used that many over the years. But I think Bunnings now have got these ones, the battery candles.
Yep. A lot safer than the traditional ones, that's for sure. Especially if you've got children around.
Yeah, absolutely. But just, you know, even like if you're having a party or something like that, putting a few of those sort of up a staircase or around the front door, or even just, you know, for nice lighting at night, those with the lamps that we have. And I'll mention the warm globes as well. They give off quite a nice intimate feeling as opposed to the, I think they call it blue white, the really bright blue white lights.
Yep. Cool white or natural. Don't put those in the bathroom. They give you an extra boost of light, but they don't look fantastic either. There's certainly a place for the warm lights.
Oh, hang on. Are you saying that you actually look different in the warm light than in the bright white light?
Oh, yeah. I made the mistake of putting the natural ones in the bathroom, and apparently they're not appropriate.
And for makeup, your wife didn't like it?
No, she didn't.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now, give me some ideas. I want to go back to the garden again because I recently saw, I think it was on Instagram, this woman who was creating outdoor wall art out of succulents. And I'm not sure if you did those kind of projects at Bunnings, but it was really amazing. She created like a wooden box that was probably, I don't know, 4 inches deep maybe, and then put soil in it, then some chicken wire, and then she got a bunch of succulents. And she poked them through and embedded it and waited a few weeks for them to take root. And then she hung it up on a wall. You know, there's just so many fantastic things that you can do. One of the other things that I did, I'm an artist and I had this whole collection of old art that I bought before I actually started painting myself. And it was kind of like this Balinese feel about it. And I was wondering, what if I can actually spray something on it that will make it waterproof so that I can hang them outside on my fence? And I found a product, I don't know what it's called now, maybe you can think of what it was, but it's this spray that you put on outdoor furniture that makes it water repellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be just a silicon spray, not the lubricating type, but the silicon sprays which are designed to sort of seal and protect cotton and furniture and things like that, sort of to prevent staining and things like that. So yeah, I'd say it's just one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. So they weren't oil paintings or anything like that, but they were just kind of like acrylic paintings, and it's actually worked. So I've got outdoor art that, you know, instead of sitting in the cupboards, actually outside adorning the walls. So, you know, there's a number of different things that, you know, people sort of really think about it that you can actually do around your home to make it feel homely. And, you know, I know myself that there's been this stigma around renting. I've had a few conversations recently where people used to rent, or the renting demographic was primarily owned by 20-something-year-olds who were leaving home for the first time or, you know, going to university. And it was just kind of like a temporary abode for them to be closer where they were working or studying. But now more and more people are renting for lifestyle choice, but also as a financial choice. So not necessarily because they can't afford to buy, or maybe they can't, but they're actually wanting to live near where their lifestyle is situated. So with that means that you sacrifice something, you know, and I think the thing about renting is that you want to feel like it's your abode, it's your home, that it's somewhere that you can be that feels like your space, but in a way that understanding that it is temporary, yeah?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I like to think of it as investing in yourself. I mean, you're not investing in someone else's property. You're investing in your happiness while you're staying there. And if you can take those things with you, all the better. But we need to be thinking about our own enjoyment in these properties, not necessarily doing up other people's properties, so to speak.
Yeah, I like your thinking around that. That's actually quite true. Quite true. I want to reiterate as well before we wrap up that the communication with your agent or your landlord, if you deal directly with your landlord, is really important. Like one of the things that we did here was in our kitchen, we have a very big window that runs along the back of the kitchen bench behind the stove. And because of where it's situated, it gets incredibly hot in the morning and I actually can't see if the flame is on the gas stovetop, and I was concerned about it. So we just had a conversation around, you know, look, I got a quote for getting some, it's like a reflective film on the window. And the agent was, and they said, oh, yeah, okay, well, look, are you happy to pay half? I said, yeah, I'm happy to pay half. And they went, okay, you know, get it done. That's great. And we'll just take it off your rent. I don't think it takes much to actually get your agent or your landlord to say yes to something. But then you were also saying too that, you know, you need to be kind of mindful of that because you don't want to be going back to the well all the time to be fixing up your house, because then that could make a difference when it comes to getting your next lease or maybe having a rent rise, right?
Yeah, like we're talking about, there's a myriad of things that you can be doing without asking permission in the first place. And my number one whenever I move into a property is changing out the toilet seat.
How funny. I've never heard of that.
That's my first move. Often they're installed with very budget toilet seats in there and they don't age well, but that's my first thing. I head down to Bunnings, pick myself up one of the more luxurious toilet seats and install that, because we spend a fair bit of our lives on the toilet. While you're there, you've got to enjoy your time.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think I might actually think about doing that now, because I've seen some really nice, like artistically designed toilet seats as well that have got, you know, some art in them and they're nicely padded. And
oh, yeah. The loo with a view with the seashells in the clear epoxy. Perfect.
That's hilarious. Oh, while we're on the bathroom too, you know, like you can get like suction handrails and things like that too, that we've got a bunch of them around, or the like in your shower, if you don't happen to have enough space to put your toiletries, you can get one of those shelving racks to hang it over your shower nozzle too. I don't know why, but we didn't have a light in our shower when we moved into this place, and my partner put up a light that just turns on as you walk in. It's just a sensor light, battery powered. So there's a number of things that you can do if you just really think about it. So thank you so much for sharing that today. I want to give the listeners an opportunity to check out the online Bunnings workshop. So how do they do that?
Yeah, you can track the standard Bunnings website. You'll find us on there as well, but it's bunnings.workshop.com.au. Very open and welcoming community, plenty of inspiration, advice. Everyone's welcome. Whether you're new to DIY or an experienced veteran, jump on board, start a discussion and have a conversation with us, because we're more than happy to assist with anything you need.
So it's completely online. They don't need to go into a Bunnings store to do it, but are you still running workshops at Bunnings as well?
Yeah. Workshops are getting back on board there, so we'll be looking at kicking those off as soon as possible.
Fantastic. So it's Bunnings with an S .workshops.com.au, yeah?
workshop.bunnings.com.au, or you can track there from the Bunnings website. I'm sure we're all on the Bunnings website. Just look for DIY inspiration and you'll be taken straight to workshop.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Mitchell, so much for being on the show today. It's been really fun to toss around these ideas, and, you know, I'm sure our listeners are going to love the ideas as well. And, you know, as we said, there's nothing than making your house feel like your home. And as you said, Mitchell, you know, it's really about investing in yourself and investing in your own home and your own lifestyle.
Certainly is. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come in.
My pleasure. Bye for now. Now, before we go, please remember to leave a rating and review for the podcast. It does help us climb up the podcast ladder, and it is good for our show as it helps more people to find it. Now, in our next episode, we've got Sachin Joshi from Your Own Room. It's an innovative rental solution for house sharers in India. Sachin and I talk about their housing model and the multiple rental options that India has on offer. I'm pretty excited to hear about this, and I'm also excited about having our first international guest on the show. Well, that's it from me. Until next time, bye for now. Thanks for listening. If you're looking for your next rental, head over to The Room Exchange, Australia's first verified house sharing platform. Our profiles make it easy to match you based on personality, values, and lifestyle, and you can choose to rent or offset your rent, saving you time and money. To find out more, go to theroomexchange.com. You can connect with us across our social media platforms at The Room Exchange or email admin@theroomexchange.com.